good music. Something about the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Fly. I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. It's only good music. Oh, 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 with only good music.
I tell Rihanna, please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Sharia more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye. In my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug out bone. Triple shots, that's a trait.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away. With only good music. Oh, oh, oh. With only good music.
Hello, hello, and good evening to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining me here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio. Tonight is Chat Box Live. I am your host, C. Maria Wall, a.k.a. the Mediator, the Shero, at your Ground Zero. Tonight is a very special night and show. We may not have too many open mics tonight because I need to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. And so many people are talking about the incident in Baltimore City here in beautiful Maryland. Let me start off by saying this. I grew up on Pratt Street in, you guessed it, Baltimore, Maryland. I have a right to talk about my city. There are some people who don't have a right to speak their minds on social media because they know nothing about the city. They've never been here. They don't know anything about the people or what goes on in Baltimore City. And I'm just using these states as examples. If you live in Alaska, you need to have a seat. You live in Washington State, you need to have a seat. You live in California, never been to Baltimore, you need to have a seat. Matter of fact, I have plenty of seats. And I'm only using those states because they're the first three that popped in my head. That does not mean that I've read anything or heard anything from people in those particular states. They were just used as examples. And secondly, let me just clear up some myths here right now, tonight on my show, Healing Through Her Talk Radio. You know, there are a lot of people out here who have managed to find their courage by way of examples of our Congress here. They find courage in their computers and keyboards, and in some cases, such as Baltimore and several other incidences throughout the U.S., they find their courage in their calibers and cuffs. We have seen these types of incidences all over the United States, but it's nothing new. And me being someone who's been in media a very long time, I didn't start off here on radio. I started off in television. Media is a production, people. It is a production. News will tell you what they want you to see to get the most sensationalism out of it. Someone did a report, and I think it was meant to be a bit funny, but just like they were speaking about, allegedly, the different gangs were supposed to be shooting police officers initially. You're talking about the Bloods, the Crips, and the Black Guerrilla Family. Well, the Bloods and the Crips got lost in the sauce because so many media outlets kept referring to the Black Guerrilla Family because they want, and that's their soft racism way of saying that we Black people are animals. We don't know how to act. We have no self-control. We're uncivilized. I caught on to it, and so did several other people. But let's keep going about this, because a lot of people have been asking me what my take on all of this is, because one thing I do on social media is I say, I'm not going to keep posting about this. I'm not going to keep giving them free publicity. And for the record, we had a conversation about this earlier today. For the record, not all African Americans approve of, support, or even like the antics of Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. Let me say that again. Not all Blacks approve of, support, or like the antics of Al Sharpton, especially, and Jesse Jackson, because of their past associations from the 60s. They use that, and I'm talking more so about Mr. Sharpton at this point. They use that to keep this this tension going. But when you speak of the victimization, or you always want to tell us that we are victims and we deserve this, that, and the other. We deserve. I'm an African-American woman. I was a single parent of a man child. He grew up just fine. He is now a husband, a father. He lives on his own. He has a good job. He's educated. So when the media says that the riot mom, quote unquote, has six children by multiple men, she's unemployed, she was home during the day because she's unemployed, and she's got all of these children, and one woman went as far as to say she's depressed, and she's oppressed, and she's unemployed, and this and that. And the media knew what they were doing when they go to get Black women to talk about Black women, but that's a show for another day. But yes, media will play it out in the absolute worst ways known to man. Now, let's talk about Riot Mom for a moment, because I saw this unfolding live. I witnessed it live. Yes, Douglas High School, the children had come out of school, and I guarantee you most of those children didn't even know who they were out there allegedly purging on the behalf of. They don't know Mr. Gray. They don't know anything about him. But because we have a lack of leaders in this country nowadays, there are more followers. I personally applaud Riot Mom for doing what she did. I happen to call her Riot Mom because when I saw her in action, I would have done the same thing to my son, minus the cursing. I would not have done that, but he would know, and he would bring his butt home. Now, you know, let's put another spin on this. Now, if they saw her and she did nothing, the media would have said, this is why this is happening. It's because of poor parenting. And had they shown her just talking and said, this is wrong, you shouldn't do this, da-da-da-da-da, the media would say, talk is cheap. Children need discipline. So we have a mother who refused to allow her child to become a statistic voluntarily. And some small minds with big mouths and those spewing their philosophical BS all over the place want her jailed or reprimanded, thus adding to the issue. Have a seat, people. When those of us with brains want your opinions, we will give them to you to relay back to us. So when you think about this, and this isn't, you know, the media is very, very intricate in how they're doing this. They're very calculated. They know to get the black so-called experts to talk about the Riot Mom. They know how to get other people to join in. They know how to get people who can identify with us more to give their negative so-called expert commentary. Let's go a step further. Let's talk about Madam Mayor. I thought, now, this is me, C. Maria Wall, an educated woman, yes, college educated, works every day, the whole nine yards. So we're going to dispel a lot of myths this evening because, as I said, I was a single parent of a man child. He had some problems. A lot of kids do that you don't hear about on the media, but he had some problems. I wouldn't say that he didn't, but nothing like what you saw in Baltimore. He was a typical child doing what children do. But I was a, let the media tell it, unconventional mom who was not going to allow him to become a statistic either. So not every uneducated, poor, or down and out person has multiple children from different men is a bad parent. And no one is allowed to degrade any race of people in my presence, especially on social media. I will report you. I don't care what color you are. I will report you. I promise you that. Thing that I've been finding is that so many people, they're quick to say that these thugs, young and old, nowadays it's not politically correct to call criminals thugs or even criminals. So we'll just say these ladies and gentlemen who were looting and robbing and all of this, they did it because, once again, most of them have come from single-parent households. So all single parents, let the media tell it, have children that will grow up to be criminals. Ladies and gentlemen, criminals, but criminals, since we can't use thugs and criminals. But in the judicial system, if you're a minor and you commit an adult crime, especially if you're non-Anglo-Saxon, a.k.a. non-Caucasian, 10 to 1, you're going to be tried as an adult. But You cannot do that. These are children that were out there. Let's just forget all of the adults who showed up later, drove up to Montgomery Mall with their cars, took bags and containers, filled them, had come out, put them in their cars and left. So I guess because you're all victims, you had the right to do that. Anyone can explain that to me because I'm a bit confused by that. Oh, that's right. Brother Shopton showed up to tell us that we're victims. The second day, the media, which I thought was interesting, it was one of the largest organized marches, were the college people. The college people had. It was organized. It was not violent. It was extremely large. But the media played up the fact that perfect march. Let me tell you something, as an educated woman, and guess what? I attend an Ivy League university now. That's right, I said IVY, Ivy League. Some of the worst people I know are so-called educated. Some people I know, I can't imagine how they got a degree. You don't have to have a degree to be a good person. You do not have to have a degree to be successful. It's all about who you align yourself with. Now, let's take it a step further. Before I get to our dear mayor of Baltimore, let me keep going here. So they say that over 50% have never graduated high school. Why? And over 60% are unemployed, have at least a high school education. So let us go back and talk about the things that media is not saying and no black leader is even mentioning. And the churches, I fault them too, because they should have been involved with the communities who keep these ministers in their mansion homes and their fancy cars. They should have been involved in these neighborhoods a long time ago. But you want to get on television when all hell breaks loose and it hits the fan. Churches should have been involved a long time ago. You are for the people. The people come there. They're giving you everything because you're giving them your script, because that's what you know they want to hear. You're living in your million-dollar homes, driving your fancy Mercedes and Lexuses and BMWs and this and that. You are doing this. You're being paid to provide a service other than standing up there, putting on your performance a few times a week. So churches, I fault them as well. Secondly, why are so many high school dropouts? Why? The children stay in school. At least they'll have a chance at something. So why aren't any of the leaders asking these hard questions? Why are they not in school? Why are they not being taught to standards? Is it that they're hiring teachers who are not as qualified to have numbers? Is it that there's a problem within the city where children just can't seem to learn properly? Is it the fact that some parents, single parents included, are out working trying to keep food on the table and roofs over their heads, and they don't know until 6 months into the school year that their children haven't been showing up in class? Yes, we have dirty cops all over the place. We have dirty workers all over the place, from the postal service to the trash pickup people. It does not matter. There are people who will do dirt everywhere. But as a people, we have to ask the hard questions. I have yet to see one of these cases where the gentleman had on a suit and tie walking down the street with his Quran or his Bible or whatever it was, and the police stop, jump out, and just shoot him in cold blood. Everyone has a record. Everyone was in the process of allegedly committing a crime, except for this young man. I don't have all of the facts about Baltimore other than the police approached him initially because one of them didn't like the way he looked at them. And now we're to that point where we're afraid. I'm afraid for my son. I'm afraid for my grandchildren. I am afraid for them. I pray all day long. I stay prayed up, down, around the corner for them. The young man ran. He was crying out in agony when they dragged him across the street and put him in that vehicle initially. The FOP can cry foul all they want. And for me, I'm thinking that they're going to drag this out because one thing that some people do is have a short attention span. They're going to forget about this soon. And they may not be found guilty of murder and manslaughter. They may be found guilty of lesser charges. Some may even allow some of them to get their jobs back, while others may have to do a short stint in jail. The worst thing that can happen is that they're found totally innocent and they're exonerated of everything. But because I studied law in college, I know that good attorneys can make this go either way at this point. So again, they say they made 5 stops. So what? It's going to have to be deeper than just making 5 stops. The officer who wrote the report, who said that he had a switchblade opposed to a legal blade, could get reprimanded. Does that mean that they have to go to jail, especially if it's one of the junior officers? A good attorney will fight that down in a matter of moments. This is the realization of what could go down, people. You have to be prepared for this so that you're not going to tear up your own businesses. Secondly, let's talk about these businesses. The media also said some of these people have lost everything. They didn't have insurance. How do you have a business? You go home to your fancy home, you're driving your Escalades and all of this at your mom and pop shop in Baltimore, but you don't have insurance on your business? And I have preached this for years. That's one reason why I don't do too much in Baltimore City, because most so-called business people there do not know the business of their business. How can you have a storefront and not have insurance? Who does that? But you have your fancy car and your fancy jewelry all on your fingers and around your neck, and you go home to a nice house, but you can't afford to insure your business. I remember, I was very young, but I remember the riots of 1968. I remember people having to put black bandanas on their car to let the rioters know that the car was owned by an African-American person. I remember all of that. The rioters then did not tear up their own people's items and property. They didn't do it. These fools, oh, that's one word that they haven't said that we can't use. So these fools just tore up everything because they're all victims, because they decide to leave school early and go out there and loot and steal and then throw rocks at the police, who then, by the way, threw rocks back. Oh, that's right, but then let's get up here to our dear mayor, because she said that she wanted to give them place to destroy if they wanted to. But that's not what she really meant. But I have yet to hear her explain what she was trying to say, because she always comes with an attitude. Now, I will say this. Sheila Dixon, when she was the mayor of Baltimore, she may have done her dirt, but when Baltimore was in the middle of a crisis, Sheila Dixon would come on television looking like she just got out of bed in the morning. This new mayor, her hair is always done. Her makeup is always pristine, because she has to look good when she comes out in public. So in the time that it's taken her to get her hair and face done, she should have been addressing this issue. And some people were upset because when the governor had come to town and he was doing his press conference, they said, what took so long? And he said, look, we told her we were at the ready. We were just waiting for her to call, and I'm glad she did, is what he said. And people said, oh, that white man threw the mayor under the bus. the mayor drove the own bus over herself. Where was she, people? Where was she? And every time she talks, she has an attitude, this aura of an attitude like, don't question me. And, you know, I don't like the fact that you all are trying to say that I don't do my job. I never thought she did her job. I never thought she did her job. And she was the speaker at my graduation a few years ago. And I was like, why did you all go and get her? Of all the people in the world, why her? But her hair is always done. Her makeup is pristine. And I'm pretty sure she's not doing either one herself. And if she is, forgive me. But, sister, when you're in a crisis, you don't have time to do your hair and nails. And you certainly don't have time to sit in your chair and have someone else to do it when your city is in this type of a crisis. So these are the hard things that nobody really wants to say, because media wants to keep it just the way it is. They were interviewing, her last name was King, and I can't remember this guy, this fool. He's always talking some conservative BS. And don't get me wrong, and let me say this. I say conservative BS because I'm pretty sure he is a conservative. But I don't like things that the Democrats do, and I certainly don't like things that the Republicans do. Let me say that again. I don't like things that the Democrats do, and I certainly don't like things that the Republicans do. And I can't stand Obamacare because it's killing me. When I was had health care through a job, my deductible was $500. Through Obamacare, it's $2,500. I will never meet my deductible in a year, so where are all of my premiums going? So there you go. So that's dispelling another myth that all black people are all for everything Obama, no matter what it is, because that's not true. And any Republican listening, you do not have permission to take my words and use them for a damn thing. Okay? Just want you to know that, because I don't like probably any of you, because you have disrespected the president since the day he was elected. You have disrespected him. You have disrespected him not only to the people here in the United States, but you have shown him disrespect throughout the world. You are wrong. You are dead wrong. All of this started because people got that courage by way of the examples that Congress has led. While you all talk all this craziness and put everything, if it's snowing in the desert, it's Obama's fault. Well, these types of riots and the police losing their minds is your fault. And we have a mayor, black African-American female, who needs to get her hair and her face done instead of her being out there in the trenches dealing with her people and their problems. She has this nonchalant, lackadaisical, laid-back attitude about everything. There's just no life in her. But her hair and her face are done, and pretty sure her nails are probably done too. The city is falling apart because people have ignored all of these problems for decades. This is not anything new. This is like a boiling pot, and it has been boiling for years. It was boiling when I was a child, and it's boiling now. The city that reads is the city that bleeds. Charm City is Harm City. Those have been the taglines for years. And it doesn't matter where you are. There are bad cops everywhere. In my jurisdiction, I don't like the cops. I don't trust them. I've been profiled. I was stopped by a policeman years ago. It was so funny because it was my first day back to work after spine surgery. Couldn't drive fast, couldn't do anything. The officer was originally behind a copper beam Mercedes, had about four black guys in it. He saw me, my hair was back in a bun. All he could see was that I was African American. I was driving the speed limit, and I knew he was going to pull me over. I got on Windsor Mill Road, he pulls me over. He says, how fast you were going. I was like, the speed limit. Then he said, well, what's your driving record like? And I said, better than yours. And I said, I can't turn around. You'll have to come to me. This is my first day back after spine surgery. Why was I stopped? And he told me he was pacing me. Didn't have a radar gun, didn't have anything. He was pacing me. let him know. I saw you come out of the same street I was on. You were in the opposite direction. And I knew. First you were following the copper penny Mercedes. Then you came behind me. He took my license and I waited and I was going to tell him, you know what, I'll see you in court. He came back, oh, I'm going to give you this here warning. Do whatever you have to do, officer. So you see, and when I was going married and going through my domestic, now that was a Caucasian officer. Then I had, when I was married and I was going through my domestic violence spat with my husband, they were all black and they were standing outside joking and laughing with him. The one was very disrespectful to me. I called him a little short gimp. He was very disrespectful to me. So that's black on black, people. What you going to say about that? You have to remember something. This runs deeper than black and white. This runs deeper than us being victims. Riot Mom did what she should have done. Her son has been interviewed on several media outlets. He understands. He appreciates what she did. So for all of you philosophical philosophizers and all that BS you talk, keep it to yourself. Because the most people that I see on social media talking it, you're educated. You live in the big homes. You have the nice cars. Just talk to them. Do you have children? There's no such thing as just talk to some children. Depending on the situation, you have to handle it in a certain way. You cannot just say, oh, don't hit them. Don't discipline them. Oh, no. This is a short woman out here with a child that's several inches taller than she is out here rioting and looting. The police could have shot him. He could have ended up in jail. Then that still would have been another issue. But to have black people getting on TV psychoanalyzing other black people when you go home to your fancy neighborhood and your wonderful cars. And by the way, I have nice home, nice car, all of that. And have a truck too, by the way. The bottom line is simple. Just because I cross the road that you cross doesn't mean that I'm going to sit up here and jump on your bandwagon. Because you see, I enjoy using my free will constantly. I enjoy using my free will. I know so many people out here who are afraid to say what everyone else will not say. They sit up here, they'll do their speaking engagements, they talk like they're walking on eggshells, and they're like, well, you know, we don't want to make anybody mad. Excuse me, then what was the point of listening to your drabble all day? What did you just say? It was a waste of my time, a waste of my day. If you do wrong, you have to deal with the ramifications of your actions. Do we need to fix our system? Yes. It's a problem that's been in place since the 60s. Instead of Jesse and Sharpton sitting back waiting for people to pay them to come and talk about absolutely nothing, they should have continued the fight even more when Dr. King was assassinated. But they became their own branded big businesses for themselves. There were many times in the past when I had gone to request assistance from the infamous NAACP. Well, unless you join us, we're not going to give you any information. We're not going to help you. Times I walked away from them as well. That's why I studied law in school, so that I would know how to protect myself first and foremost. Now I'm an advocate. I know how to help other people. But I'm only going to waste my time. And I'm not wasting my time. Let me take that back. See, this is what the mayor should have done. Let me take this back and rephrase it. I am not going to expel any additional time on people who are not ready to move forward. There are some people, no matter what I say to them, they're going to have an answer why it's not going to work. Until, in some cases, some people need to hear it from someone else. Then they'll come back and say, you know, so-and-so said it, so I'm going to try this. I'm like, okay. whatever. I am here to help the people who are ready to be helped, the people who want to put one foot in front of the other and move forward. I am here to network and align myself with the people of like minds and spirit and have that burning desire in their soul to make a difference. That's why I'm here. But I'm not going to be here and continually watch people, black and non-black, pass judgment on a situation and individuals that they know nothing about. Those officers may have committed that crime. Time will tell when they go through this legal process. I'm not going to call them out of their names, just like nobody wants us to call the criminals and thugs criminals and thugs. They're upstanding citizens. They're men and women. They're ladies and gentlemen. So I'm not going to stoop down to anyone's level and call those officers anything but officers right now. Yes, they've been charged with a crime. Have they been found guilty? No. Was it done according to FOP because of the ties of the AG to certain people in the government? Perhaps. But that's not the issue at hand right now. Based on the information that she had, she did what she thought was best. Now the system needs to work. They have the right to due process. They have the right. Unfortunately, in this country, that's the way the legal system is set up. They have the right to due process. And for the longest time, they were talking about these riots would even start to spread. I'm telling you now, I don't care what color you are. You come up here, tan up what I've worked for, we're going to have a problem. So don't do it. Stay home. Stay in your homes. Go to school. Get yourselves educated. Learn how to combat this. Learn how to stop hating on one another. This is the most hateful race that I know. Stop hating on one another. If you can band together and organize a purge, then you should be able to stay in school, support one another, band together to create businesses, viable businesses that you know will withstand what's going on, will withstand whatever comes your way in society, in the future. And get insurance for your businesses. Because I guarantee you, guess what? All of the non-black businesses have insurance. They'll be back up and running, taking the black people in the community's money, and you'll still be out of everything. You'll lose your fancy car. You'll lose your fancy home. You'll lose everything because your own people tore up your business that you weren't running properly in the first place. See, these are the things that no one has mentioned yet. All these churches, if you can get on the cameras and walk a couple blocks when the cameras are rolling, where were you before this happened? Why weren't you getting together walking these blocks the years before now? Where were you? These are the questions that nobody's asking. These are the questions that I need answers to. I would like to see answers to. But nobody wants to address those issues. We still want to play the victims on one end, and media is still going to show us as uncivilized people and animals on the other. Because no one wants to really address the issues at hand. Madam Mayor, you need to go out there in the trenches. The time that you're taking to get your hair and face done, you need to be out there on the streets with the National Guard and everyone else. You need to have on your riot gear walking with them every night, every single night. They didn't tear up your house. They didn't tear up your car. They didn't storm inside of your office. They didn't do that. A real leader will be out there with the people, not sitting in an office getting their hair, face, and nails done. That's what leaders do. Been lackadaisical since the day that she was elected to office. This is a clear shot example of everything that's gone wrong, from the leadership to the pulpits. Yeah, I'm stepping on some toes because some people are so brainwashed that they will believe anything and they will take up for their ministers and pastors, because a lot of people have more faith and they believe and they are so worshiped. They worship their pastors and that pulpit so much that they're willing to fight. How many churches do we see where people are fighting and carrying on right there in the church? The media eats that up as well. We need to fix us before anything else can be fixed. We need to fix us. And until we do that, nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. But to say that all of this is the fault of a single-parent household, wrong answer. Because for every single parent, they can point out there's other single parents such as myself and several others that I know who turned out just fine, upstanding, contributors to society, educated, worked hard to get there. And even then, people will say, well, you know, you put in the extra effort and you're not this. And they have an answer for everything to keep us at ground zero. We will never get our just props in this world. What we can do is clean up our act, brush ourselves off, and keep pressing forward. Until we do that, nothing else will matter. Nothing else will change. Nothing will change. People are going to sit here. They're going to let this blow over, because that's one of the main things that so many of my non-African-American counterparts say, is that they know that African-Americans have a short attention span. I don't forget anything. I keep darn good notes in my head. I know who said what, when, where, why, and how, but I also know when there's a time to fight and there's a time to be laid back and regroup. There's a time to put effort into making the proper plan, time to be silent, and there's a time to allow your voice to be heard. And in those times when you're silent, that's when you are devising your response, not your reaction. What we have seen in media is reactions to everything, to everything. But this is not anything new. It just so happens that Baltimore blew up in a huge way. Baltimore burned in the 60s and it's burned again. But in the same breath, again, people, this is two-sided. You look at all these cases. Were these people upstanding citizens? No. Did they deserve what happened to them? Absolutely not. So this is the real deal. This is the things that I'm not seeing anyone talk about. And I was very, very disgusted when they got all into the riot mom's life. She's got children by multiple men. And, like, non-blacks don't do that. Please, have a seat. These people have long criminal backgrounds. And, trust me, I know a whole bunch of non-blacks that have really interesting criminal backgrounds. Have a seat. See, we have to know exactly what the true stories are, and then we have to stop feeding into it. Every time we put up those riot videos, every time we leave it open for people to make their negative and derogative comments, we're buying into the genocide. We're buying into it. That's why I don't post all of that. I am not going to give them another venue to show all of this, to give people right to point their finger and say, see, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. They're animals. They're animals. jumping on cars, tearing up people's property. People have lost their jobs, not because of those six policemen, because of what the rioters did, because of what those fascists did. You don't know what fascist means? Get a dictionary, ask somebody how to spell it, and look it up. Educate yourself. Educate yourselves. I'm not going to talk for 2 hours because I'm not going to give Baltimore and the situation 2 hours of my time. I'm going to take a hot bath. I'm going to say a prayer for those in Baltimore. And then I'm going to move on. Because until we stop the madness, and we have to start by stopping. Stop spreading the ignorance. Stop spreading the negativity. If we stop spreading it, trust me, media is going to get the message. And they're either going to change their presentation or they're going to stop it altogether. I was looking at a report, what was it, last night, at some convenience store. You have how many thousands of police and National Guard in Baltimore, and a man was shot multiple times by two people trying to rob the store? That's a clear shot sign that there's a problem that's a lot bigger than dirty cops. There were just no cops. There was nobody. This person was shot multiple times by two assailants, and they died. And there was no police anywhere. Out of thousands and thousands and thousands of police, how can that be? One day on the news, all of the antagonists that were starting the rioting didn't look like us. The people that were throwing the trash cans and all of that, not one of them looked like us. Then the people that looked like us joined in. People, you better know how the game is played. You need to understand the rules of engagement and how people will incite the problems within our communities. You need to wake up and learn. There is something called the art of war. There is something called the rules of engagement. Educate yourselves. This is a game to some people. Many years ago, do you know how drugs got introduced into the black community? Know your history. You didn't just walk down the street and find some drugs and all of a sudden it was introduced into the community. And we keep playing into this. Stay in school. At least get your high school education. There are people out here, there's me, my entire staff, we are here to help you become successful. But you have to do the groundwork yourself. You have to do the groundwork yourself. If you're not willing to do it, I don't have enough time to work with people who don't want to work. There who need my help and who are ready for my help and who welcome it and appreciate it, but most of all, they respect it. These fascists didn't respect anything. They tore up everything. Didn't care. And across the country, the officer who was arrested, that old man who shot the guy, said, "I shot him. Oh, I'm sorry." What was he doing? Trying to sell an illegal weapon. Did he deserve to have the cop cursing him out, telling him he didn't care that he couldn't breathe and all of that? No. But would he still be alive if he wasn't out there committing a crime, selling an illegal weapon? Because he never would have been in the area. He never would have been in that car. He would not have been in that situation. We can go down the list, and this is what people don't want to hear. Some people probably thinking, why that be bringing that up? Well, because it's the facts. If he was home in his house, he would not have been in that car. He would not have been on the ground. He would not have had an officer who thought that he pulled out his taser to a man that was on the ground with another officer's knee on his neck, talking about he thought that it was his taser, and he pulled out a gun and shot him. Really? So again, parts are wrong, What does that mean? The entire situation or scenario is now wrong. But by removing your part from it, you remove 50% of the equation. Something to think about, and nobody has said that yet. I come home every day. If the police stop me, the best they can do is tell me they're pacing me, which means absolutely nothing in the real world. You were pacing me. You didn't have me on any type of radar, nothing. You saw that I was black, so you decided to pace me. And I see you in my rearview mirror, so I'm going to speed. Really? No. And, you know, if for these jurisdictions who don't feel as though officers should wear cameras, then maybe a company needs to start selling us cameras so we can have them on the front and both sides and the front, back, and both sides of our car. And it's not a thing that the officers can do. Hey, you know what? This car is camered. It's under surveillance. You know, they say that it's mic'd and all of this and that. Okay, just tell them it's camered. That's a new word, camered. Smile for the cameras. Because if they won't wear their cameras, and one incident, suddenly the cameras weren't working properly, give us the right to have our cameras so that we can protect ourselves. Let us have cameras on our vehicles so that we can hear and or see what the officers are doing. Because it's getting bad now. Nobody's going to protect us but us. The gentleman who was shot in the back where they arrested that officer, he said, he took my taser. Any profiler could tell by the change in his voice and how fast he said it that he was lying. Then you're going to see, if that person wasn't there with his camera, that officer would have gotten away with it. So now it's time for us to go to our legislators, and it's time for them to give us the right to put cameras on everything, because the officers are dirty across the board, and they have found courage in their calibers and their cuffs. And someone posted, oh, this person is the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, and in the daytime he's an officer. Well, they're judges, they're surgeons, they're everywhere. That's nothing new. So why do we keep spreading the craziness? I charged everyone, post something positive. Post something that's educational. Post something that's inspirational, motivational. Did they do it? No. They kept posting the things that made the very people who are part of their communities look like animals and monkeys to the world. We keep buying into it. And when I see it, I will click off of it, click it off of my pages. I don't want to see it. And some people, when they cross that line and they start talking about things and calling people out of their names, oh, they have to get reported. I don't care what color they are. I don't allow my own people to call me out of my name. I'm not going to allow anyone who doesn't look like me to call me out of my name either. So if you have a comment or something, I'll open the lines for a little while, but other than that, tonight is just about sitting and listening, because there are too many people out here whose minds, and some of these people allegedly are very educated and out there, but they are so brainwashed and out there, some of the things that they say leave me wondering, or with that blank stare, total shock and awe, like what in the world are they talking about? Why would they post something like that? And the bottom line is, if you're posting about what everybody else should do to fix this, why don't you post what you're doing to fix it? What part are you playing in this? People need to do this. They need to do this. Oh, they should do this. Well, what are you doing to help the problem? There are more people out here who are counselors and coaches who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. Like I said, people, question who you're aligning yourself with. Question the information that you're receiving. Understand that media is part of entertainment. Why do you think so many media outlets win Emmys every year and they win all of these different awards and things? for their wonderful news reporting. It's because they have produced the best. They have produced the best stories. And they do that by taking the raw footage back. And when they take the raw footage back, they edit it. Trust me. They do a lot of editing. You could say they had a piece on when they interviewed a young boy. And by the time they got done cutting and pasting, they totally turned around his words. People went crazy. They had no idea. Now, to the trained eye, you can tell when something's been edited. But to a non-trained eye, you think that that word is law. And we as a people need to stop hating. But that's a show for another day. As I said, I was not going to spend a whole 2 hours talking about the situation in Baltimore because I am not going to play into that. But my job this evening was to shed light on the things that no one seems to be talking about, asking the questions that no one has asked thus far. I'm one person, but I'm still making a difference. I refuse to pass on all of this negativity. I refuse to pass on all of this. I refuse. I refuse. I refuse. Some people say that the best publicity, negative publicity, can be positive publicity. Not in this circumstance. And I'm just going to stop. Hello, Miss Pretty over here in our show chat room. I just thought about you just the other day because I had not seen you around for a while, but it's good to see you here tonight. The show is about to end, but thanks so much for stopping in. Good to see that you're still here. And again, you see, I know how to separate. I have friends, I have associates who look like me, who do not look like me. And I'm still going to keep them until they tell me that based on something that happened in Baltimore, they don't want to be associated with me anymore. At which time, I'm not going to get an attitude because they have shown their true colors. I'm going to say, okay, that door will be closed. That's an opportunity that they will never have again. I'm good with that. Yes, I help people all over the world. Yes. I am considered that visionary and that leader. Yes, I am considered the realist because I keep it real. I say everything that people think, but dare not say because they're afraid of what someone may say to them or think about them. Me, on the other hand, I'm the rebel with a cause. I'm the educated rebel with a cause. I'm the successful rebel with a cause on a mission. But as I said, the problems run a lot deeper than what you see on the surface that the news is spreading. Educate yourselves. Learn about the history of that city. Learn about the history of those people before you pass judgment. And for those of you who don't look like me, who love using the N-word because you found courage in your computers and your keyboards, have a seat. Because I'm not going to come back and call you, you know, some of the usual stereotypical names, because we all know by your statements alone that you've already removed all doubt in that respect. But there's no need, because I refuse to play into it. See, nowadays, with all of this technological gadgets and gizmos, all we have to do is press a button or swipe our finger across the screen, and you're deleted. Dismissed. Have a seat. Matter of fact, have several seats. So tonight, everyone, I've enjoyed this because some people, it's been a quiet night. A lot of people are off preparing for fight nights and all of that. My stepdaughter got married today. So many things are going on all over. I love when I have this time to talk to you one-on-one. I enjoy this. And so many of you have been asking me why I won't join in and do and post all of this and that and on I near the area. Of course I am. But why would I want to? That's like owning a dress shop. And you're putting your worst, dirtiest piece of dresses, raggedy, just nothing, on display in your window. Why would I want to do that? No one should want to do that. But we have been so conditioned, some of us have been so conditioned that it's all that we know. And we think in our minds somehow that that's helping. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not. Some things are not meant to be shared. And if they are, they're meant to be shared in private, not on social media where people can keep clicking the likes and the share button and share button, because that does nothing but spreads the negative impressions, and it allows people the right to spread their hatred. So it's all about love. It's all about good people. And as the show starts, it will end with good music. But before I go, as always, I want to remind you to continue to pay it and pray it forward. And I will continue to pray each and every one of you enough. I pray you enough sunshine to brighten your rainy days. And I also pray you enough rain to make your gardens grow beautifully. And I pray you enough smiles to turn that frown you have been carrying around upside down. Also pray you enough strength and courage to face whatever may be coming your way this week and beyond. So until next time, be well, be blessed. I am C. Maria Wall. These words are my words and mine alone. They are not representative of my entire foundation or the Wall Healing Through Hurt, iTalk Radio, or the Wall Foundation Incorporated. So the bottom line is this. You asked for my opinion, and I gave it to you. It's my opinion. I'm not going to speak about this next week and the week after and the week after. I refuse to do that. This was my opinion. As I said, I always look around at things. I look around and I ask the questions that most people won't ask. I have African-American friends, I have Indian friends, I have Asian friends, I have Caucasian friends. These are my friends. Thank you to Susan Hilton over there on our Facebook chat room. Thank you, sis. Again, this is about coming together, not tearing things apart. So that's my take on the situation. I hope you all, in addition to Susan, enjoyed the show as well, because I have been very hurt by what I've seen, what I've heard. And I'm not talking about from the media. I'm talking about from people who look like me, who are passing this trying time along on social media. I implore you to stop it. Because it doesn't matter what happens. All six of those officers can be convicted. That will not solve or stop the problem. One of the things that can happen right away is that churches need to stop fronting for the cameras and get back into the communities and to do what they were created to do. Secondly, people need to educate themselves and start to ask the people question your leadership. Question your leadership. And I'll tell you all, I became successful. I learned the business of the business. I was sponsored into certain organizations and things. None of the people who helped me looked like me. None. So just remember, not everyone who looks like you is a friend, and not everyone who doesn't is an enemy. Remember that. We have to work together. We are the human race, period. We have enough issues to deal with, famine and plights and floods and other natural disasters. But we need to, the leaders need to step up. Church leaders need to step up. Our governmental leaders need to do better in order for this to change. But the first thing that we have to do, and the major thing, is that we have to change our families. We have to become families again. We have to stay home. We have to stop spending our money on things that don't matter. We need to go back to learn how to cook. We need to learn to how to sit down at a table. That was one of my biggest regrets when my son was younger, was that we did sit down from time to time, but not every single night, and I wish I had. So again, I hope that this show, to incite a discussion. I want it to incite a new mindset. I want you to broaden your horizons and start thinking outside of the box. And I want you to start asking the hard questions. Because then and only then will you find the true grit answers that are needed to solve this problem. And it's not going to happen overnight. It may not even happen in what's left of my lifetime. But if we stay on course, it will happen. Maybe in my grandchildren's time. Living in this particular lifetime for me, I have witnessed so many interesting things in this world. We can do this, but it takes a total mind shift and change. And the one thing that we have to do is come back home and be families again. No matter if you're a one-parent household or two-parent household, or you've got children by multiple men, you chose to have those children. You choose to take care of them. If you're unemployed, work to better yourself. Get employment. You can do this. There are success stories out there every day. My story is still being written. I lost everything, but I kept standing and moving forward, and I held on to my faith. We need to do this. We need to. So, again, that's my take on all of this. I want to thank you all for being here. I see Angel Tyler. I believe that's you. I see over here and some strangers. So I don't know who some of you are, but welcome to the show. Thank you. Tonight was Chatbox Live. Join us next week for WeChat, which stands for Women's Empowerment Chat. We have Dr. Amanda Carter will be joining us. We're going to be talking about a host of issues next week. So again, until next time, as always, be well, be blessed. And thank you, Arlene Spann, for joining in. And you know me, sis, I have to keep it real. I have to put the real face on. All these people running around here wearing these masks, no, this is a real issue that's been going on for a long time now. Thank you so much, sis, for chiming in. Glad that you could stop by tonight. Thank you to all of my sisters in the spirit. Thank you to all of our guests who visited in the chat room. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so appreciative and humble of all of you. Wow. I'm very passionate about this. I'm very passionate about serving others, about making others successful, because I know that there's enough room at the top for everyone, but you have to want it just as badly as I do for you. So until next time, be well, be blessed. As I said, we began with some good music. This has been a good conversation, even though so many of you have just been sitting and listening to me tonight, but we're going to end with Miss Tori Lee, of course, and good music. So next week, I'll see you all back here at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And, oh, yes, next weekend on May the 9th. It will be the kickoff of our bio tour. Bio stands for Be Beautiful Inside and Out. It is time to, hey, what we've been talking about, rewrite your bio. Oh, we have a caller on the line. Hold on, caller. Hello, hello.
Hey, Maria, it's Angel.
Hey, sis, how are you?
I'm well. Tonight's call was amazing. It was a very eye-opening, and I want to thank you for sharing your opinion. And I heard you mentioning the May 9th event.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to invite the women to come out to be empowered, to be inspired, and to take some tools back home to restructuring and rewriting their bio.
Yes, yes. This is a big part of this, people. This is the kickoff. We'll be doing this several weekends throughout the year. But we'll be at the Miller Library.
Yeah.
This coming Saturday, May the 9th, from 10 to 2. And it's the kickoff of the bio tour. Be beautiful inside and out. And when we say that, that's literally, you're going to learn how to rewrite your thinking, your feeling, rewrite your game plan for your life, for your success. That's what this tour is about. And we're going to be helping you. We have so many things coming up. Right through August, we actually are booked through August with different events. We will be at the Miller Library or Glenwood, many of the events. But again, we are available to come to your small group, large group, your church group, everyone. So again, if you'd like more information, you can send me a text at 202-618-2556. I will send you all of the information. And as I said, if you'd like to get involved, of course, you can call on that same number, or you can contact us at contact@thewallfoundationinc.org, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 272 in Randallstown, Maryland, 21133. And if you'd like to donate in any way, the Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio is sponsored by the Wall Foundation Incorporated, which is an IRS-approved and recognized 501c3 nonprofit. So if you're on Facebook, you can find us on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio, presented by the Wall Foundation, Inc. There's a button there to donate, or you can visit us on our website at thewallfoundationinc.org. There is a donate button there. And, of course, all of your donations are tax-deductible to the fullest extent of current laws here in the United States. So I want to thank you all. Angel, you have any closing comments before we say goodnight? But thanks for chiming in, sis, and thanks for being here. Glad to know that you all made it safely. And we will see you when we get back, when you get back home. So safe travels, safe journeys to you.
Okay, good night.
Good night. And good night to each and every one of you. Wow. When I get the positive feedback, that tells me, hey, you know what, Maria? Job well done tonight. So I hope that you all understand and you respect my point of view just as I have respected each and every one of yours. So until next time, be well, be blessed. We will see you back here. We'll see you at the bio tour on the 9th, on May the 9th, at the Miller Library in Howard County, Maryland, from 10 to 2, and we'll see you Saturday night at 9 p.m. here on Healing Through Hurt Talk Radio for We Chat Women's Empowerment Chat, where we have a special guest, Dr. Amanda Carter, is scheduled to join us. So we will see you soon. Be well, be blessed. Have a wonderful remainder of your weekend.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the wanna be, take me away with only good music. Oh, the things you said stays in my mind. Makes me wanna sit down and listen to you. I listen all night. The melody, the arrangement makes my body go so crazy. I tie my feet, man, I love the beat. It's the way the music comes over me. The emotions I get, I won't fight. Sometimes the music is sure to make you cry, then dry your eyes. You know when the music is the way you can hide. Well, I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music.
Please don't stop the music. Cologne strum my pain with the fingers. I could really use it. Quiet storms full of purple rain. My Cherie are more lovely as a summer day. I'll let the whispers follow Marvin Gaye in my headphones till the music starts to fade away. I give away my brown sugar for a bit of pop. If love really was a bullet, I'd have took the shot. Yeah. Now would you buy me a drink just to take me home? Put your game in a song just to make me moan. I like my Robin Thicke, me alone. A thug album, triple shots, that's a trace.
I get lost in your words. It feels so good when I'm hurt. Take my mind off of the pain. Love when the beat takes me away with only good music. Oh,
this concludes our broadcast evening. Before we go, I'm going to play some music, soft music, so that we can reflect and say a prayer for this country and this world. And right now, it's such unrest in the city of Baltimore, I ask that you say a special prayer for those suffering in Baltimore, as well as all over. I'll let the music play for a while and then we'll end our broadcast. Thank you again for joining me here tonight on Healing Through Hurt iTalk Radio.